Today is March 8th, 2018. So, what is your name?
Janae Wilson.
Charlie Gibson.
Celia Gibson.
And Shylin Gibson.
Okay, and where do you live?
Ashland, Kansas.
Okay, what is your occupation?
I am a registered nurse and work at a hospital in Dodge delivering babies and also a wife of a rancher.
Okay.
I'm a high school senior. I'm 17 years old.
And you go to?
Ashland High School.
Okay.
I go to Ashland High School. I'm a freshman.
And you're?
And I am 15 years old.
Okay.
I go to Ashland High School. I am a 7th grader, and I am 12 years old.
Okay. And did we ask Mom how old she was?
I'm 39.
Okay, good. Okay. Now, you're each going to have to not talk on top of each other, okay? So when did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire in general?
The afternoon of March 6th. Matt came home, my husband, from work for lunch, and he took a late lunch that day. Typically, he comes home from noon to 1, but today, that day, he came home about 12:30 and didn't leave the house until about 1:30, taking his hour lunch. And he walked out to get in his vehicle and noticed that it looked pretty hazy off to the west. And so I walked out there with him when he was getting in his pickup and was like, oh my goodness, that's a lot of dirt and lots of wind blowing. So at that point, neither one of us knew that there was a fire going because we don't hear sirens or a fire actively in progress. But Matt was like, I think that looks like a fire, but I don't know. It could just be so much dirt. So he left, went into town to go about the rest of his day at work. And I got some stuff together and had to go into town as well and made it there about a little after 2, and realized then that our fire department had been called out. I didn't know when they'd been called out, and I had found out that the fire was south of Englewood, somewhere in Oklahoma. And basically that's how I found out about it, was
when
going to town.
When you say you go to town, where do you live from Ashland?
We lived 7 1/4 miles east of Ashland. Just address was 2706 U.S. Highway 160 is what our address was.
So you girls were all in school?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's the first way you heard about the fire?
Well, I heard about the fire from my best friend Carissa because she's always up with the news, it seems like. And so she was like, wait, we'd noticed that the sky was getting kind of orangey outside. And so I'm just like, hey, do you know what's going on? And she says, oh yeah, the fire department had gotten called out. There's a fire that, since the wind is up and ready to go or keeps blowing real bad, we need to be aware of. But it didn't really seem super close. Like, as the day went on, it kind of got darker and you realize that you might need to be a little more worried about it, but at the time it just seemed kind of, oh no, I hope that someone's house doesn't get burned down or no one's seriously affected by this.
Right. So where were you?
I was at school. I was going to my 3rd hour class, which was on the west side of the school, so I just looked out the window and I saw just smoke like everywhere on the whole west side, and that's how I found out, because I knew immediately that it was, and I heard the sirens that
at noon.
Yeah,
you can hear.
Well, not noon, it was earlier than that
when they called out the fire.
I heard the sirens and then the town siren and then the fire.
You can hear the fire trucks leave
yeah,
town.
Yeah, I can hear
when
the
you're
fire
at
trucks.
High school, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what class were you in?
Well, I don't really remember. I believe that I was at the grade school at that time, and then we went over to the high school because we had track, and that's where our track is. So I just heard from a couple of friends when we were about to leave the grade school, that there was a fire, and my teacher, she told us, and So told us not to be worried, and we didn't have practice that day because all of the smoke was just everywhere. And so.
When did they let out school? Do you remember what time? Was their announcement?
They announced early that they were. They announced, or there was always that possibility. Like when you hear about the disasters happening, like being a high schooler, you're always like, "I wonder if they're going to let out school early if we can go." And it got to about.
I got that text message at 3:12.
Yeah, about 3 o'clock, they announced over the loudspeakers. They announced over the speakers that they're going to let out school early and that the out-of-town kids need to make sure to call their parents before they go home because of how close the fire was. And so all the out-of-town kids or anyone who lived outside of Ashland limits needed to call their parents before they left to make sure that either they were going to get picked up or that it was safe for them to drive in the direction of their house.
So when you guys go to school, do you all go together? Do you ride in one vehicle or do you ride the bus?
We did last year. It depended on the day because Charlie and I had cheer in the mornings on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Mm-hmm. And Celia would ride the bus then, but we would all go home together. They went home together that day.
Right, so you would find each other before you'd leave school.
Yeah.
Yes.
And go home. And you were at a forensics meet?
I was at a scholar school meet. And it got canceled because of the wind in Ingalls. So I had left at 2:30. We left.
It was closer to
2:45. Yeah, we left at 2:45 because Mom had came and signed off on
Some permission slip
for Charlie and
give you money.
Yeah, gave me money to go eat whenever we came back through to go to Dodge. Uh-huh. And so they had closed the highway to Mineola. So we had to go up through Buckland. So we were almost to the curves. Well, when I had walked out of the school, I looked back and my mom and we were both leaving at the same time because she was going to go
back to the house.
Yeah, or
I had to go get fuel.
Yeah, and then I was just going to the meet. So I looked up and I just saw the smoke and you could see it going over the school already and it was like everywhere. And I looked at Emily Berryman. She was she was on our team or on my team. And I looked at her and I said, this is scary. And I said, I didn't say anything to my mom. I just said that I would see her later and that I don't remember what I said. I just said I loved you, and then I would see her later. And then
probably
we got
good luck.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then so we were to the curves, and our scholar school coach was on the phone with Mr. Endicott because they were kind of antsy about letting us go, but they finally just let us like leave because they were just going to hold us and say that it wasn't safe for us to leave. And I wish they would have, but I mean, I couldn't have made that call.
So did you make it to the meet?
No, it got canceled because the power went out in Ingalls because of the wind.
And where were you?
We got told that we couldn't turn around at the Buckland curve. So we weren't even to Buckland when they said that we couldn't. They said, don't go back. It's too windy. And the wind was almost blowing us off the road.
And where did you stay?
When we got to Dodge, we went to the mall and just sat there and messed around for about an hour until my mom called, or I called my mom and I said, how bad is it? And she said, Charlotte, they ended school early, which we didn't know, and that Charlie and Celia were headed to the house, and that I told her that we would probably just meet at another location that the school had told or that the town had gone to evacuate if that was to happen. So I said I might just go back on the bus, or I called my grandma and I said, just in case if it gets bad, I would just stay with her. And I told my mom and she said, that's a good idea. I would rather you stay up there. And I said, oh. And so I called my grandma, and she came and picked me up. And then
grandma lives
in Dodge.
Dodge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I went and stayed with her, and I was really scared. And I knew that Emily didn't want me to leave either because she didn't want to be alone with all the guys. Because, I don't know, it's just since we're so close that she wanted that sense of, like,
someone. So how many people are in the Scholars Bowl at that time?
I don't remember how many people were there. It was maybe six. Yeah. But we didn't have... I don't really remember. It was probably six.
In a small bus?
Yeah,
a
no,
band?
We were in a bus. We were in a van.
Oh, they're all in here?
Yeah. So, when you guys left school and you'd already had... they'd let you out of school. Had you already heard that you had to evacuate too?
No. We got let out of school at about 3:15. And so, at 3:15... when mom got the text, like I was basically walking to the door to wait to meet up with Celia, and mom had called me and she's like, find Celia and get out to the house. Like that's right now, that's what you need to do. You need to find Celia, wait for her, and then get out to the house pretty quickly.
But you argued with me because you were like, can I just stay after because homecoming was next week and she wanted to get posters done because she's the cheer captain and wanted to work on that stuff. And I said, no, I need you out here. I need you to come home, get your sister, and head out to the house as soon as you can.
Mm-hmm. So where was Matt? Were you still working Monday afternoon, say 2:00? Were you in town?
Actually, at lunch, I was the first one to see that something was going on. I went home for lunch, worked a little bit late, probably an hour late on lunch, and we were at protection doing some work, and I was like, ugh, this is not good. Go home and finish my sandwich, I go back to work, and told Danae, I said, it's like the Dirty 30s. Big dust cloud coming up, and I saw the edge of it, and I was like, that's not dust, that's smoke. And so then I started making phone calls to people, discovered the fire was down in Englewood, ran down there, and pretty much just told my boss, I said, we got a major event here, I'm not working the rest of the afternoon, and it just was escalating from there.
So when y'all got back to the house, was there other people at your house that had come out to go? Not yet.
So after she left on the school bus at about 2:45, 2:30 roughly, I don't know exactly when the Scholars Bowl team left. I left to go get fuel at the pumps on the east or the west side of town and was filling up, and I even took pictures that I have on my phone so that I could just kind of commemorate. I was like, God, this just doesn't look good. And honestly, I want to say that was like at 2:45 in the afternoon. And I was finishing. Oh, it's okay. I was looking for the picture. But I was finishing getting fuel, and I noticed that Jewel Hazen, which is our neighbor to the south of us, was driving by from the west going east very fast. A lot faster, you know, he's speeding. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, maybe that fire is closer than what I thought it was or what we thought it was.
We didn't think and, it was gonna hit us.
Yeah. Hit us. And we knew that he had cattle out to the west, I guess you could say north of Shaw's, County Road 16 roughly is what that area is. And I thought, oh goodness, if he's having to move cattle from there, it's getting really close. So I finished getting fuel and started heading back east, back home. And Jewel must have turned off somewhere in town. And then as I was outside of town, and he came up behind me like I was standing still and zipped around me and going, you know, way faster like I was standing still. And so I called him, and of course he didn't answer, thankfully, because he was obviously on a mission. But I just continued heading home, and once I got home, he called me as soon as I was getting out of the vehicle, and I said, I noticed, you know, you need some help. Are you guys moving cattle? Can I help you with anything? Because, you know, obviously the danger is further to the west. And he said, no, I just needed to come back to get a different vehicle because this vehicle had gas in it and it was going to be faster to just grab this vehicle than it was to pump fuel and head back that way. I don't know. Anyways, he said, no, he didn't need any help and headed back. He said, but that fire is moving much faster and they're trying to quickly move cattle. And I was like, okay, well, if you change your mind and you need help, I'm around. I'm not doing anything, whatever. So he hung up the phone, and I just decided that I was going to go ahead and hook up our sprinkler system and turn on the sprinkler system to our tree row, and walked out and plugged that, turned that on, and was walking back to the house, and Joel Hazen called me back. This was maybe 5 minutes later, and he says, honestly, Janae, he says, you know what you could be doing is if, your cattle are in the north pasture. He said, the way this wind is blowing, I think you need to move them to your south pasture if you can get them there. He said, because the root of the way the wind is and the way this fire is moving, I think they'd be better in the south pasture. And so at that point, I hung up the phone and called Matt and was like, telling him.
So I was over at Chris's because the immediate danger was over there in Englewood area.
Yep. And they live west of Ashland, close to Acres.
Yes.
Chris Wilkinson.
And so I'd already driven down to Englewood and saw that it was threatening that area, and it was kind of going, to the northeast angle. And I don't know if Chris knew about it yet, and Jessica was there, and so we were contemplating what to do and this and that. So that's where I was when Janae was telling her part of this.
Yeah.
And
it was.
So did they follow us immediately?
No,
they did not.
She said she went to town and stayed at Chance's.
Yeah, yes. Something. Oh, no, I know. At that point, Big John came out there and told everybody to get out of there.
Right.
So we went back to town. And
the sheriff.
Right.
And at that point, I went back out the house. I said, just in case, let's start loading up stuff here. But still, I thought the way it was going, it just seemed like it would be pretty far west of us.
Okay, so probably that's like 3:30, 4 o'clock?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, roughly.
I'm trying to dip in here.
It would probably have been like 3:15 because we weren't home yet.
That's right. It was about 3:15. It's probably about, yeah.
So they hadn't started evacuating any of the tents.
No.
But it was like, I don't know, it was spreading fast, like to the east too, even though it was more moving northeast, it was like widening. Mm-hmm. But I thought, I don't know, the highway will stop it.
Right.
So fast.
Right.
But we were, just in case we're putting, because we've talked about tornado drills and stuff, and this is even different.
Right.
So just in case we start throwing stuff in the vehicles.
Right. And Charlie and Celia made it home.
And it was about 3.
Had to been like 3:25, 3:30.
Because we left the school, they dismissed school around 3:10, 3:15. Took us about 10 minutes to get out to our house. And I was driving kind of slow because of the wind, but my car's an old boat. Right. And I drove with Celia. We got to the house, and I remember pulling up to the house. My mom's like, coming, running out. And she's like, you need to park over here in the gravel. Like, make sure you park over here, out of the way of everything else. But make sure you park over here.
We pulled
and so,
a bunch of stuff away from the house that was flammable, Just common sense things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so Celia and I got out of the car. And Mom's like, okay, you need to go to the house and start packing like it'd be for a tornado. Like, just start packing just in case. And we'll fill up the Suburban, have things ready just in case things get evacuated or if we need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so Celia and I, we've been to the house for about 15 minutes. And Jessica and Chris pulled up. And they were telling us, Mom, or I guess they had called ahead. I don't know for sure when.
The intensity level went way up.
Yeah.
They'd called ahead and they're like, we've been evacuated. Ashland is being evacuated. We need to go. And so they ended up pulling up and then.
I haven't even went to the White House and grabbed stuff yet at that point.
Were they coming to your house thinking they'd be safe at your house?
At first they did. When I did finally answer the phone when she called, she had asked, she was like, we were evacuated from our house, which was 6 miles west of Ashland. And then they got to...
Southwest.
Yeah, but they got to Ashland and were hunkering down at Chance's house, which is within the Ashland city limits. And they were only there for maybe 10 minutes, if that. And then they got the evacuation order for everyone to leave Ashland. And that took them a little bit because they did also check on Bessie and loaded Bessie up with them, Chance's next door neighbor.
But the intensity level went way up at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, so when Jessica called me and said, we're on our way to your house and we're just going to wait it out there, you know, see what happens. I was like, that's fine. You know, we're just kind of gathering stuff right now. You know, just I'm packing a bag. Matt's packing a bag. We're getting, you know, valuable things out of the house and putting them in the vehicle and kind of trying to get a game plan in a sense.
So at that time, I was with my grandma. My grandma had just picked me up from the mall. And I was we were driving to her house, which is across the whole town in Dodge. So I remember calling my mom and she didn't answer. And I remember calling Charlie after that. And Charlie said, hey, do you want me to grab anything? And I said, it's already that bad. And she said, yes, it's moving very fast. So you need to tell me what you want. And I said, the first thing I said was to grab all of my clothes and make sure I had enough underwear. So she's like, that was my main.
It's important.
Clothes. We can get that. Just like, I need like. Pictures or like
any
special
sentimental
items
that I needed. Mm-hmm. So I said I had a shoebox and a tote under my bed full of just my pictures that I had from like, I don't know,
friends.
My whole life and friends and just a bunch of stuff that I thought was sentimental. So, and then I had two quilts and some wall quilts or wall. I don't know what you call
hangings,
them. Hangings.
Yeah,
hangings. And I said, if you could grab my... And then I had a lot of stuff in my bedside table. So I told her to grab my... I had like a jar of money. And I had... And then I just told her to grab anything she thought I would want.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Other than that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. Which, not everything... Was
correct.
Focused
right.
On, well, documents that you can't
taxes,
replace.
Pictures.
Taps,
birth certificates.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
and then we went from there to pictures and guns.
And did you go get stuff out of the other house?
Yes, that's where I went up to the other house. And I was just, we kind of had a lot of that stuff in totes already. You know,
it was taxes.
And I'm just... at this point, my truck's completely loaded with stuff.
So, have you done anything with your cattle or your horses?
No.
No. Janae had asked me what to do. Well, we don't have any wheat pasture that was really green wheat. There was some fallow wheat that Chet Ratcher had done, but you know, it was kind of grassy. I was like, at this point, we don't really have anywhere to move them because all your movement is from one pasture to another, and.
Their chances are
going to
be
just
as
slim.
As big as that fire is, there's literally nothing you can do. It's just like, well, you
and with the traffic, you couldn't get them across.
We got to hope for the best. I mean, because if we would have stayed and done that, we probably would have died, and it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
Right.
Because we would have been moving right where
Because
it burned every acre of our ground, every single acre. So it wouldn't have mattered.
So when did you start noticing people driving by? Did they start about the time you got home?
When Chris and Jessica showed up at our house, it was like almost a constant line. Car.
And it was all fast, too.
It was all, like, every 3 seconds a car would go by, which typically it's like every maybe hour and a half you see a car go by.
Maybe a little
bit. I am there during the day when there's not that much traffic.
Okay,
on
well,
that
during
highway.
The day, but at the end of the day, it's
more heavier. Yeah.
Right.
Every 5 to 10 minutes, there's a car that comes by.
Maybe towards like 5 o'clock or early morning.
So, what all vehicles did you decide to load up and take?
As many as we could grab.
We loaded up my Suburban. We loaded up his red or his white Ford pickup. That's a four door. We loaded up the red feed truck, and those were the three vehicles we decided to load up and take. When Jessica and Chris arrived, they were in their green extended pack cab pickup and their brown Charger, and with me having the girls and having more room in the Suburban, we decided that Jessica would jump in and sit in the, drive the Suburban with Charlie and Celia and Bessie, and they would park their Charger in front of Charlie's car on our gravel and leave the Charger at our house.
We left
and Chris,
work truck because it's insured.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Charlie's car.
Old car. And, yeah. But we pulled them out in a rock.
Yes.
To where it wasn't next to anything.
Right.
So in which
ironically, they all survived.
So which way did you decide to go? Did you go to Coldwater or did you decide to go to Buckland?
We decided to head north to Buckland.
We didn't decide. We were told to go.
Right. So when Jessica and Chris arrived, of course, everything, you know, amped up, was getting very chaotic. Because it kind of seemed like Matt and I were kind of an old working unit, working together on you grab this, I'm grabbing this, once, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that, you could see it was like almost already north of us.
Right.
Uh-huh. Like, how's that going to get us?
Yeah.
So, you're thinking that it's the fire from the southwest that's going up here to the north of you. You're not aware that there's this other fire coming
yet?
Well,
no.
Because the wind switched.
Yes.
Yeah, that first.
At that point.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so in the process of Matt and I getting everything together and buttoning, I guess you could say, for lack of a better term, everything up outside, taking stuff that's flammable away from the house, we had our camper parked alongside our house, and it was set up for someone to just stay in. Well, we decided to move the slides in and kind of get it ready to just hook onto and leave if we needed to.
Just in case.
Just in case. Mm-hmm. It was not our intent to do that at that point.
Yeah.
So we're finishing gathering stuff up. Chris and Jessica show up, and Chris is like, we got to go. We got to leave. We got to leave now. Hurry up, grab whatever you have, and let's go.
He's a little bit more excited than you guys.
And he's way more excited.
Yeah.
Way more excited. And Chris, so Matt is like, I still got to go up to the White House to get the important stuff up there. So he jumped in his pickup and ran up to the White House to get all that stuff. And Jessica came inside and was helping me, you know, finish packing bags and putting different things and pictures. And she's like, did you get your marriage license? No, I didn't. Thank God she reminded me because I grabbed that.
Yeah, they don't have that courthouse.
Well, they do, but it was like, you just don't think of those things, you know? So, finally, Chris has reached his limit of willing to wait because of all the line of vehicles going and was like, we're leaving. And he's getting very angry and antsy and saying some not so nice. He sounded like a sailor.
Yes.
Not so nice words. And was like, I'm leaving. And Jessica's like, well, you can't leave without us.
He was nervous.
Chris jumped in his pickup. We got all the girls loaded up. I finally grabbed the last thing out of the house. I took one last look from the kitchen and was like, I think I can live with what I've got. Needless to say, that was the last time I did that.
Yeah.
It's
did you take any pictures?
We did. We did grab pictures at the last minute.
But did you take any picture?
No. No. I really wish I would have. I didn't even, we weren't taking pictures at all.
I'm thinking at this point, oh man, I gotta let it all.
Yeah. That's happened multiple times with all the tornado warnings.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So we leave the house. Jessica, Bessie, Celia and Charlie jump in the Suburban. Chris jumps in his vehicle. I jump into the red truck, and as we're walking out, you know, Jessica and I are, you know, walking together, and she goes, I really think we should hook up to the camper. And I said, I agree. I think we should too. And she says, then do it. I said, I think I can get it done within the next few minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty good.
Help make sure you were lined up.
Right. So Jessica got in the Suburban and started backing out. I got into the red pickup and just pulled forward like I was going to go out of our drive and then backed up to the camper. And it made Chris extremely mad. Because
oh, yeah.
He jumped out of his pickup and proceeded to call some pretty profane names to me. Was not happy with me at all. And I yelled back at him saying, this is my only chance. It will take me less than a minute to get this hooked up. You go on,
it'll
we will
fine.
Catch up with you,
we'll
whatever.
Up.
And so I continued backing up. Charlie just stood back there. I was lined up perfectly. She told me when to stop. I stopped. We got out. I hooked it on, raised the hitch, and we left. And I'm not kidding you. It was less than a minute that
first
I was
try.
Able to do that.
I remember getting back, and Mom told
and
me
that's
and I was
right.
like,
we're not coming back.
Yeah.
And they pulled out. Mom had said that they pulled out right when Matt was coming back. So Matt was right behind them when he was yeah. coming back from the White House. And
it
I was just
yeah.
surprised because now I know if we're ever in a situation, tell Mom to back up the trailer because she will get it her first try.
It was perfect timing.
Yep.
And so we decided since hers was the biggest vehicle and we had the most stuff, and we didn't have time to hook the stabilizers or anything, right?
Mm-mm. No.
So Mom decided to go first since she had the biggest vehicle, right?
I had the pickup, the one-ton
yeah.
feed truck. Yeah.
And so you went first, and then...
Then Matt was behind me.
No, Matt.
Or Chris.
Chris was behind me.
I'm not sure how the caravan was.
Chris
yeah.
was behind them in the...
Suburban.
No, that was us.
Okay.
In his truck.
Yeah.
It was
Chris
a caravan.
Was in his truck.
It was.
Yeah, and you caravaned up to the Sitka corner and turned north?
And turned north to go to Buckland.
And how far did you get?
We were driving.
And we...
And I was running phones.
You got to Lexington?
Just, yeah. I had Jessica's phone, I had my phone, and I had Celia's phone. Because we... Yeah, you had your phone. No, it's not. We had the... I was running phones, making sure everyone was staying together. Because at that point, the wind and everything was just so bad you could barely see. So I was trying to make sure everyone, like, was together still. And at that point in time... Someone had got a call. I don't remember who. Someone
Jessica.
Had gotten a call, but I didn't answer her phone. Someone
Jessica
had called us from Buckland.
Judge Freelove called Mel and told them that they got stopped and couldn't go any further north, and they had to turn around and go back towards Coldwater through Lexington
yeah.
area.
And so Mel called me.
That's where all
yeah.
the tragedy happened.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you'd gone back south.
If you would have kept going,
going,
you would have not been able to go because
yes.
there was the wreck.
Right.
Yeah.
So Mel called
Jessica. And so I answered for Jessica, and I'm just like, okay, hey, what's up? What's going on? And she's like, you need to make sure you turn to protection. Do not go to Buckland.
So
and we were not even a mile from that. We were
yeah.
less than
right
500 feet
oh, right.
from that turnoff. From the Buckland
so
road
you just really gone through the curves, and
since
we had already gone. Yeah, gone.
She was first. She had that big camper. Not even 500 feet from that turnoff, I got the call from Mel, and I'm like, Celia, you need to call Mom and tell her to turn now. Like, you have to turn.
Meanwhile,
and so she called.
Chris Hartwell, what is going on?
Yeah.
Why are they turning?
Why
yeah.
are we
yeah.
slowing down?
It's
Why
so
are we turning?
Are you seeing smoke and fire
yeah.
to
it's,
the north
not,
now?
Yeah,
not,
there's smoke everywhere. I mean, it's like... Hazy.
Is it that black stuff,
it's
or is it still brown?
Pitch black.
Not quite yet. It was still... It was still that brown.
Can you
outside.
See the person in front of you?
We could see
yeah.
a bit of the person in front. Like, it was... We could see
we
kind of around
see
in front.
The person in front of us.
Yeah.
So then you went to protection, and had they already evacuated protection when
yeah,
you got there?
What are you doing here? Get out of here.
So you went through protection, and then went on your way to Coldwater.
Yeah.
When you got to Coldwater, where did you stop?
We stopped at
gas
the gas pump.
On the south side
on
of Coldwater.
South side of Coldwater,
right.
across from Dollar General. Yeah.
Because that's where Mel and Bill had stopped, and somebody else was already there.
Rita.
Rita and
And then at that time, I remember the whole time I was constantly either on the phone with someone already in cold water, I was texting someone in protection. Like, I felt like I was there through a phone. I wasn't really there, but right. I was.
So
there.
You knew what was going
so
on.
So I knew exactly what was going on. I had called, and at that time in Dodge, there were fires in Dodge, like South Dodge, mm-hmm. and it was scary too because the way the wind was blowing, it was going to go and get the whole southwest part of Dodge because they were scared that the Starbuck fire was going to go up to Buckland or Mineola, and it would have, yes. And I was just scared because there was fires down where I live, and then there was fires up in Dodge where my whole rest of my family lives. So I was like, great, this is just perfect.
Right.
No. So you get over there to Coldwater, and there's these other people, and everybody have a different story?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they're coming, and did you go eat? Did you stay right there?
We stayed there for probably...
We saw the smoke, and then the wind switched. But you couldn't tell if it switched exactly opposite. But I made the comment, I regret this comment. I said, that might be a good thing, because then it'll blow back upon itself, and they can get it out. Well, it didn't switch directly back. It switched like at a 45-degree angle. That's what got us.
And when the wind switched, did it also get colder?
Yes.
It was extremely cold.
I remember we were all sitting there, and we'd kind of gotten all together, made sure everyone was together, and then different people kind of would go out to the school where they had set up the
Red Cross
or the Relief Center. Yeah. Like it was kind of just a meeting place for the people. They kind of set everything up. And then, so we were kind of getting people kind of stopping by saying, hey, how are you guys? We just came from Venn. And then it got to the point where everyone was still like trying to figure out what was happening. And I remember just going up and sitting on the top of the camper and just watching the smoke. And I'm just sitting there for 15, 30 minutes and watching it slowly just get darker and darker. And I remember seeing the sun, and it was just, or not the sun, it was the moon, because it was on the opposite side. And just getting slowly covered by smoke. And it got cold after the wind switch. And it was just like, I don't want to sit out here anymore. I'm going to go down. And around that time, all of us had decided, because you had already left. Most of the guys had already left. And it was mostly...
I remember we went across the road and we went to the general store. And we got some, like, crackers and stuff.
Water.
And
things to, kind of some snacks to eat while you were waiting. Right. Did you expect to go back home that night?
Not that night, but maybe. Yeah.
Couldn't
have
much
of a... Yeah. Like, so, expecting things to go well. Mm-hmm. Just the way it sounded like it was going, it would have been okay. And then, kind of... About 15 minutes after the wind had switched out, gotten cold, and it was just Celia and I as kids there, and then
Nicole.
There were like two or three older couples there. Bessie was with us, and then a couple older couples, and I don't remember who.
Mel and Bill and Rita and Mike Freelove.
And so we decided... Most everyone's like all the news is going to the school, and we want to know what's going on, so we're going to go to the school. And so we ended up at the school. I think we took the Suburban. We left the camper, I think, where it was. I don't remember.
No, I followed in the camper.
Okay, yeah. So we went to the school because that's where all the news was going. And I remember getting to the school and meeting just with a bunch of either classmates that were there. I remember seeing some of the gardeners, like the little kids, most of the people that had evacuated Ashland were all meeting and congregating at the school. And so we got there and it was still light, and I remember was just, you kept getting news saying, oh, these people's house got burned down, their land was lost, something else was gone, and you never knew for sure what was true because you know how rumors spread about what's happening. Like, we heard the Kellenbergers had burned down for sure. Like, it was like a for sure thing that Kellenbergers' house were gone, which meant it was like right on the outskirts of Ashland. And so that freaked out a bunch of the young kids.
The only thing that I knew was that the gardeners, they were, the firemen were there at, like, on that side of town, and that's the only place I knew for sure that hadn't burned down. And I knew for sure it was there, and then I heard that it was on the, like, by the K's new house, or, and then I heard that it was on that side burning into Ashland, and then I heard it was at the Kellenberger's house, and then I heard it was at the Methodist church, and I was like, oh my God, and I just broke down, and I was like praying, and then I would call my friends, and they were all at Dave's in Coldwater, and they were like, we're here for you, Shylin, and then right then they heard that your house is burned down, and that's the first people I heard it from, and they didn't know for sure. It wasn't then.
Yeah, it was one of those rumors.
How were they stopping people from going back to Ashland? Was there a policeman sitting down there on the 5 mile corner? And so what made you decide to go see what was going on?
Probably stupidity. And when all those emotions are going through your head, and you know, cattle, your houses, and everything, it's like it's hard. That's a hard feeling to fight.
I'm too far away, and I need to be closer.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what I thought I could do or anything, but I had to know in my head. Yeah, because all these rumors were flying around. I had to know if I could, and it was probably not the best decision to make. But we, Chance Wilkinson and I, were able to make it all the way back and forth. And the only happy thing, well, actually a big happy thing, was that we discovered that his and Chris's house hadn't burned.
Oh, you went clear over west of Ashland?
We made it clear over there.
Going mostly back roads and stuff. Did you? And you probably drove by a lot of fire still?
There was a lot of smoke. It was just hot spots, but it was so smoky it was hard to breathe. And the most dangerous thing was all the power lines laying across the road. That was because if you didn't see that,
we could have.
It wasn't a good decision on our part. We shouldn't have done it. And if I had to do it all over again, I probably wouldn't have done it. But it's just, that's a hard feeling to fight.
I remember getting...
Not knowing. I mean, I don't know. It's just, I can't describe it. It's just...
have to be there. You feel like you're going to do something.
I don't know what I'm going to do, but you feel like you have to do something.
You have to be there. Right. You feel helpless that far away. That's how I felt that whole night. Because I remember calling Charlie, she didn't answer. Calling Matt, he didn't answer. Calling my mom, she didn't answer. And I remember...
He called Celia, and she answered.
She the one that told you that your house was gone?
No.
We didn't know at that point.
You didn't know for sure.
I didn't even know. I was the last person to find out.
I didn't want her to find out from anyone over the phone, so I said,
"You need to go.
How are you?" Because I forgot about her. I was just worried about Mom and Charlie.
Because you were talking to them a whole bunch, right?
And it hit me, and my grandma said, "You need to call Celia."
She did, and I answered.
And I said, "How are you?" And she just started crying.
I kind of separated from...
She said that she couldn't find Mom. She said that she just started crying because Matt had left and with Chance, and that they didn't know where they went. They knew that they were trying to figure out if they had, if they were going to go find out for sure that we, if we had lost everything. And she said,
I'm scared, Trilin. I said I am too.
So were you at the school?
Yeah, we were all at the school.
She was just scared that, and she couldn't find mom, and she was just all by herself. I don't know if she was.
I wasn't with anybody. I was with my friend Caleb, and we were both in there, and we were just hanging out. And I was with Britt, Caleb, and one of the. It's
cord.
Yeah.
So did you drive by your house when it was on fire?
I didn't get it going. The highway couldn't go on there.
So did you go back
so
on the...
I didn't get to see whether it was on fire or not. Furthest I was able to go, Mike Cohen and his wife were stopped there. And you could see going over the hill there. You could see black... I asked the sheriff and deputies, I don't remember which one it was at that point, but those houses on the highway, did they make it or not? He goes, pause, and I knew right then, he goes, sorry, man, they're gone. Yeah. And it sucked, I mean, but until you see it, you still have that.
You're like, just oh, it can't be gone.
Like,
it can't
there's be something gone. Left. You gotta there's have to do something. Something.
Yeah, we were able to make it all the way to Chris's on the back roads because we couldn't. The highways were just locked down.
Right,
couldn't go. So we were pretty happy about Chris's house surviving. So we made it all the way back to Coldwater. We probably weren't very popular at that point, but we all went to bed and then. Ran out of propane in the middle of the night when everybody's freezing. And I thought Chris was turning the thermostat. So they're all like, get some propane. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning at this point anyway. It's like, so I gotta see. If I gotta get propane, I gotta see. And then I was by myself at this point and the high was open. And yeah.
So what time did you go back?
Sun up.
As soon as I could.
It was like, as soon as we could.
We got the, okay, I mean, at 7:30 is when they officially lifted the, you know, the ban that you couldn't go back to Ashland. They said that, yes, you could start returning to Ashland at 7:30 in the morning. And at that point, we were already almost completely ready to, you know, get loaded up in the vehicles and head back to Ashland.
Yeah, it was a, well, when I drove by, and there's still power lines and stuff, it was, even on the highway, it was, you couldn't just go. I drove by the White House first, and it was kind of surreal because you have this image of it in your head, what it looks like, and you see that, and you're just like.
Where'd it go?
It's like you're seeing pictures or image, like you're.
Because the barn's still there, and the shop in the back of my dad built. To their, the house was gone. There was some two or three other structures gone. There was, you know, still smoldering and flames and stuff. And propane lines were still shooting out. I was just like, and like the porch support railings, those white things were all bent over. I was just like, oh, wow, yeah, this is no joke.
Got pretty hot.
And I kept going and I saw our house. The Wilson sign was still there. And all I saw was it looked like Godzilla had stomped on it. Well, fired on it first and then stomped on it. But missed the Wilson sign. And the only thing I noticed that was really caught my sight was the propane thing was just like shooting flames like 20 feet in the air.
Yeah.
I was like,
you sent pictures of that right after you found it and went back during the
night. I don't even know what I can describe I felt at that point.
Everything?
Because it just kind of felt numb. You knew, you could see with your eyes what you saw, but it wasn't calculating yet. It was just a visual. And you're just going... So then I turn around and I go in the pasture. I start looking for the cow. I see one immediately, and kind of over by the water tank there, close to the brown house. All the way from its body down its hooves, it looked like it's just burnt off. I thought, oh my God. I keep going, I see a dead calf, keep going, see a dead cow. Then Janae calls me.
Wondering where he is she at goes, with the propane.
We're yeah. cold. We need propane. It was
freezing.
So cold.
You're not cold. A good time right now. I'm about to break down. I got dead cows. The house is burnt out. I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
It wasn't her fault. It's just there's the moment of how it was. That's just how it was.
Right.
And I kept going back, and pretty soon. Here come another cow. But they all had that look. I was like, ah, dang, I have to shoot these. Mm-hmm. I kept going, and I got a little closer, and like the calves, some of the calves were like bouncing around like they were happy. I was like, they're burning up. That can't act like that. Right. They were nursing and stuff. Uh-huh. I got to look, and it was mud. They had gone over there. North of my parents' home, there's a couple of big ponds, and they were full at the time. And I didn't know this, but that's where they went, and went over there and got out of that fire, because it was grazed down pretty hard, and there was that fallow wheat pasture to the northwest, and it blocked it enough to where somehow they managed to get over there.
We had the horses 100 head.
We lost six cows and five calves or whatever to count.
Out of 100.
It was very low compared to our herd. It was 100, you know, pairs and two horses.
Right.
And we still had, and they had some burned stuff on their backs, but Kellenberger went out there and checked them out, and he said they didn't look like they'd been in a fire. It was a miracle.
Yeah.
It was a miracle. I couldn't believe it. Because we had just bought these, and we didn't have insurance on them. You know, if we lost that, our insurance money for our house, we would have used to pay the bank off, and we would have just
lived in the RV.
We wouldn't have. Oh, well, man. It's not paid off either.
We live in nowhere.
We went from, you know,
yeah,
being okay to immediately being in financial straits.
So did you get propane back to them, or did they show up?
No.
They ended up leaving.
We ended up just getting up and moving around, getting extra clothes on, yeah, and buttoning everything up and just going back.
But it was tough. I mean, we had that ranch since 1884, and my dad died trying to get it back on its feet. We put all that work into it, and it was just a lot to swallow all at once.
So you really didn't have time to worry about the house because it's gone. You got to worry about your cattle,
yeah,
right?
The house is gone. We didn't know anything on that, which, I'm not saying it doesn't lessen the bite, but, you know, we have a camper, and I'm sure we could live with family or whatever for a while, you know, until we can figure that out.
So what did you do with the cattle?
Well,
the immediate concern was hay and water. And I called my dad. I called my parents that the evening before. I think Matt called me about 11,
yeah,
that night.
One guy that you knew for protection brought the hay first.
Right.
And then your dad showed up. We were able to get him hay immediately that next day.
Yeah. First thing that morning.
And one of the tanks was still working, so they had water. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy because they didn't even act like anything had happened.
They didn't even try to get out. They just hung out by the pond, and then they worked their way over to the water tank.
All they care about is food, so I don't think they would have gone anywhere because that's where they get fed all the time.
We ended up later moving them all into the corrals because there was a couple of pens in there that we could at least capture them and house them. And then electricity is gone, so, I mean, it was, You had immediate needs.
It's the water tank electrical or solar?
It was solar.
And did it burn the solar parts?
That one tank in particular I'm telling you about that's close to the ground did not.
No, it didn't.
But all the rest of them were gone. We had to replace all the rest of them.
Yeah. Right.
And I think just because it had been grazed down so much around it. And
right.
I had a leak that I didn't fix and there was four. So my negligence,
moat.
My negligence turned out to be a blessing.
Blessing, yes. So, and then you got the propane tank shut off, so you're not spewing propane.
I didn't touch that. I was like,
did it just run out?
Near, the co-op people went and did that. I know it was full too. And it went for a couple of days. I'm not going near that thing. What if it just blows up? I don't know.
Right.
So it's just was looked like Iraq over there.
Not funny.
So, each of you, what's your most vivid memory of the fire?
I have two.
Okay.
Whenever I found out when my house was burnt, and we were right by the bathroom in the high school in Coldwater, and Mom told me that it was gone, and we were never going to get it back. And that moment, I never want to relive again. And when we were driving back,
yeah,
it was really devastating.
Yeah.
Everything was black, right?
I was with my aunt.
Like a moonscape.
Right.
I didn't cry.
Were you kind of shocked?
Yeah. I was a lot of shock.
Yeah.
She started to tear up, and I didn't do anything. I was just, it's like, this isn't real. Somebody pinched me and wake me up. And then when we finally went into town, I realized that my mom was all alone.
It's okay.
You mean you girls went to town and your without folks her. Stayed at, out at the house?
No.
No?
She was driving by herself.
Oh, she was the only one in a vehicle.
Yeah. Oh. She had a seat.
I was driving the camper in the red truck, and Matt was still in his white truck, but he'd been going back and forth already, so he'd already kind of seen it, and he was by himself anyways. And when we loaded back up to go back to Ashland, we just kind of all assumed the same positions as how we came to Coldwater. So yeah, the girls were in the Suburban with Jessica and Bessie, and I was in the red truck in the camp with the camper.
Chris.
Right, that's right. You jumped in the vehicle with Chris.
Because Chris was going back earlier. Chris is like the second one going back.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I want to go.
Yeah, that's how I was. But I was with my grandma. And that night before, I remember Mom and Matt both calling my grandpa and saying, we need hay tomorrow. If you can come down and give us as much hay as you have, please do it, and we will give you hay, or we will find out how to pay you back, but we need it tomorrow if we have cows. And then I knew everything was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I called my mom, and she said that Matt had gone, and I said, you need to find Celia, and you need to give her a hug or something, because she's all alone.
Yep.
She said, I'm sorry, but I can't right now. And I said, why? And she said, Shailen. And she started crying. And she was trying to hold it in. And I knew, because she never cries, really. She's hard-headed and strong. And she won't cry unless it's bad. And my grandma, she was sitting there, and she just looked away. And I knew that Mom was going to say that we had lost everything. And she did. And so I said, I need to call my dad because I needed somebody besides my grandma that was showing me magazines of houses that we could build.
You weren't there yet, huh?
No, she was like, I was like, Grandma, I don't need to be
at house magazines right now. Oh, my house is being burned down. She's like, honey, you just gotta plan ahead. And I was like, Grandma, just stop. And I called and my aunt. Yeah.
I think it was, so, she was just trying to distract you.
She didn't know what to do. I mean, she
reacted. What do
you do? You don't do anything. You just, my aunt was gone. We were at my aunt's house. She was tending people that were in Dodge that had lost their houses. Mm-hmm. And I called my dad and I just said, you need to come to my Aunt Jerica's house now, please. And he said, okay. And it was like 8:30. So he got there and he lives 3 miles, nah, 4 or 5 miles out of Dodge. And he got there in 2 minutes. And I remember meeting him outside and my grandma's like, your dad's here. And I just ran to him and I said, we lost everything. And he said, it's going to be okay, sweetie. And I said, no, it's not.
Yeah. Yep.
I think I've got my most vivid memory was I was walking around because I don't like to sit still. And I remember that night, I remember the last thing I grabbed out of the house was my Bible. And at that point in time, I've been trying to go through and read the whole thing, and I was struggling with it. And so I'd always have sticky notes to keep with me to write things down. And so I had my Bible with my little pad of sticky notes, and I was walking around just trying to talk to people, trying to figure out anything I can do. And then I saw Jessica, and I saw a bunch of our family all around the table where we had decided to set up camp in the lunchroom. And Jessica had started coming down, and there was a bunch of people right around Mom, and I'm just like, something's happened. Something's wrong. So I walk over, and Mom had, like, just gotten off the phone. And I remember she looked up at me, and she says, and I'm just like, is everything, like, I don't know. I don't remember if I said anything or not, mm-hmm. but Mom, she just looked up at me, and she just started shaking her head. And I just kind of walked away, and I didn't want to be around any people. I knew my best friend, she was right there she wasn't right there, but I had walked away down into where a hallway was, where there was less people, and I could just kind of be alone. And I just leaned against the wall and tried to not cry. I went there, and Carissa, my best friend, followed me, and she's like, what's wrong? And I remember as soon as she asked, I just started crying and said, we lost our house. And so she gave me a big hug, and then she went back, and she went and got my boyfriend, Michael. And I couldn't stand sitting still anymore, so I was trying to lean up, and it's like, no, I'm going to walk around. So I walked around, and then I went outside, and Michael met me outside, and I just started bawling. I lost it. And he gave me a hug, and he said, it'll be okay. You have people here for you. It'll be okay. And then he left me alone for a little while, and I still have my Bible in my hand, and I was just like, I need to do something. Give me something to do. And so I went. And at that point, there was the Red Cross people who brought in cots and stuff for people who need to stay. It's like, give me something to do. And I kid you not, I swear, out of the 50-some cots that they were setting up in the library, I set up at least half of those.
You just had to do something.
Like, I can't like dwell on this, or I'm going to start bawling again. I don't want to cry, so I'm going to do something with it. And so I helped set up those cots. And I didn't want to be around anybody for sure, but I remember people that knew me, like the Bakers, Austin Baker came up and he gave me a hug, Gage Gardner, Carissa was with me the whole time, and I don't know, it was just one of those things. And then my dad called. I remember him calling, and it was kind of right before we were setting up costs, like, I need to do something. Tell me something I can do. Like, and he's like, Charlie, you need to pray. to start praying. And so I remember standing the entire time just while we were doing stuff that didn't take a lot of thought to do, because setting up those cots was easy. And I remember just praying, thinking, let something good come out of this. I don't want our loss to be something that keeps us down. I want something good to come out of this. And just that whole, from the time that I was told that we lost the house, and then Mom came up to me and she just like, Charlie, I know we lost the house, but I don't know what to tell Celia, because she hadn't found out yet. And you were playing with someone. You were with someone.
I was,
and we're just like
playing with a dog, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And I looked over and I saw you, and you were still smiling and still happy with some stuff. And I know you were worried, but I'm just like, I don't know if she needs to know just yet.
Yeah.
And so I remember saying, let's wait to tell her just a little bit. And then we'll make sure somebody else doesn't know. Because I remember walking around and having people come up and hug me. And just make sure Celia doesn't find out yet.
And I had called her like a little bit after that. And that was when she said that she was scared and that she couldn't find Mom. And that she just is
I was
alone.
Gone because I was walking. I can't stand still right now. So I'm going to go do something. And it was just...
Yeah. So what's your most vivid memory of the fire?
I'd have to say the very first one of the fire is when we pulled out of our driveway, and I was kind of the leader of the pack, I guess, and I knew where everyone was except for Shailen, because at that point I thought she was still with the Scholars Bowl kids, and so I called my mom. And I couldn't hardly talk to her because I was bawling. And I said, we evacuated our house, but I need you to go and find Shailen or call her or something, because I need you to pick her up so that she's with family. Because we've all left and evacuated, and I don't know if we'll be able to come back. And that one, just, you know, because I was by myself in the pickup driving the camper. And then Mom, you know, she was calm and collected and was, yeah, that's fine. I you know, I'll go get her. And then the next most vivid memory is coming back the next morning. We headed south out of Coldwater. And at that point, I'd been on the phone with, like, Heidi Hazen had called me and said that they'd had hay coming and didn't know if we needed hay, just letting me know that if we needed anything, that I could call her and she'd be happy if we needed a place to stay, anything. And I just told her that I'd, you know, be great. I'll call her once we find something out. I said, I don't even know what I'm... have yet to see. I don't know what's there.
Right.
And then got off the phone with her, and I sat there and realized that I'm going to be driving into, like, possibly seeing nothing left by myself. And I was kind of scared to do that. I didn't really want to face that by myself. So I thought of the only thing I could do, which was call my brother, who was in... lived out in Washington State at the time. And I said, I know you're probably not going to want to do this. I said, but I need someone to talk to as I'm going through what I'm about to see. And he says, what do you mean? And I said, we're headed back to Ashland from Coldwater, and I'm by myself, and I don't want to see it by myself. And I know you're not here with me, but you're here with me. And I know you can't see what I can see, but at least I know that someone's there that I can talk to as I'm driving through. And he says, I'm happy to be here, you know, happy to sit here and talk to you on the phone. So I talked with him the whole way to the house. Basically, we drove And we ultimately ended up just driving on by. I just drove slow. I didn't stop. I just kind of described what I saw. And I was shocked. Because when you... Everything looked normal. Completely normal. Up to Stephen Kelly Hazen's house. And right after that, it was just... black destruction. Like... a fireball.
It's like Mars.
It did. It was the weirdest thing. And I was like, you know, I was shocked that it, yeah, I was shocked that it had gotten that far. And no matter if I turned left or turned right, driving west, it, all I saw was black. And I came up on his tractor that obviously he, you know, on the south side or the north side of the road, and that he been trying to plow up or disc up ground, and you know, the fire caught him there, and that huge tractor was just nothing left of it. It was almost melted down to the hubs. And then just got closer to the house, you know, to our property, and I remember popping over the hill where we placed the cross, mm-hmm. ultimately, and seeing our cattle, and I was like, oh my God, we have cattle and they're alive. You know, I remember, you know, that was kind of a high
part,
point. That was an excellent, that was a great point. And Jesse was, you know, on the other line saying, that's awesome. I'm glad. That's a good thing that, you know, we've got something to look forward to and something that's still survived this, you know.
So Matt, what's your most vivid memory?
I'm not going to be as long as okay. these guys, but. I'm just going on visual.
Yeah.
When I first saw the fire after lunch, it looked like the pictures Manny and Pop used to show me with the Dirty 30s coming mm-hmm. up. I just remembered the enormity of it. Just, I mean, it just took your breath away, like how Mother Nature can just dwarf you on some things. And I just kind of had a feeling, it's like, man, this is not good. So that'd be the first one.
Yeah.
And then the second one, obviously, like Janae was talking about, when you got to really see it with your own eyes. I mean, that was, like I said, you just feel, I felt numb. I mean, sad, angry, grief, everything all in one package. But ultimately, I felt paralyzed, like I couldn't move. So that's it.
So you had to move on to, like, take care of the cattle and community.
Yeah, you had to go in, like...
We immediately shifted to... Got to take emergency mode.
Can't do anything else. You have to worry about your animals.
When's the first time that you were all together again?
Oh, back in the... Kevin Marist allowed us to stay at his campground there, so pulled in there and kind of regrouped, right?
The camper site.
Yeah, the camper
site. When I got back,
Did you come back Tuesday?
I came back the Tuesday. I woke up, it was like 5 in the morning. I got up as soon as I could. When my body woke up, I was up, I got dressed, I went upstairs, my dad was still in bed, and I said, can we go now, please? I want to go back now. And he said, Shailen, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, I need to be back, Dad. And he said, how about we wait till 7? And I know your grandma has to go back, and your grandpa, maybe you can see if you can go back with him, because he had to work, obviously. I forgot what day it was, so I called my grandma, and I said, hey, my dad's bringing me into town. I said, what are you doing? She's like, I'm in bed, honey. And I said, oh, yeah, it's 5 in the morning. I forgot that. I'm sorry. And I was like, do you know when grandpa is going to leave to go back to Ashland? And she said, no, I don't. And I said, okay, well, when he gets up, can you call me so I can come into town and to Dodge, and so we can get ready and go back. So we got there at 7, and I sat there, and I was just like moving. I had to be back. I had to go back soon. And she said, what if we don't make it today? And I said, we are going back
anyway, I will start walking if I have to. I am going back today. I have been away too long. I have to be back now. And so it was like 11 before we left. And those were the worst hours ever. And the drive down there seemed like 10 minutes. And I remember the 12-mile corner, Inglewood Junction, going over Tiger Creek. And
when's the first time you saw evidence of the fire?
Going, leaving Dodge, you could
see. Well, yeah, their fire, but what about our...
Well, no, you could see the smoke still. From Dodge.
Yes. Talking about the burn part.
The burn part, I don't remember. It was not... You turn from Inglewood, and I don't remember exactly where. I don't remember if it was before the creek or the bridge. But I just remember seeing the smoke. There was just like... You could count the hot spots. Like, there were multiple fires going on. And I said, I looked at my grandma, and I remember just, like, driving, and then the very first black thing I saw, and I was like, no, I don't want to.
So where did you go? Did you go out to the house, or did you go?
No, we stopped. You go to the park. Mom, no one answered. And
I think we were at the campground at that point.
I called my best friend, and she said that she was... Mackenzie Kramer, and she was in Buffalo. They were driving Oklahoma in random roads. They ended up almost to Texas that night. They didn't know where to go. They just go to a road, and if someone told them to go, they went another way. So they drove the panhandle. They went through maybe Beaver, everywhere through Oklahoma. And so she couldn't call me that night, and I thought, I didn't know where she was. I thought she was...
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere down there, and I didn't know she was back, and she wasn't. She was, and so I just remember I said, I'm not going to call anyone. I'll just find someone that knows me, because there are people from everywhere. And I just got, and I said, can you stop at the fire station? Maybe someone might be there. And I saw Emily, and she said, I'm glad you made it back. And I said, I'm glad, I guess. I didn't know what to say. I wasn't really glad. I didn't want to be there and see everything. Then, when I passed the black, I was like, oh, I should have just stayed in Dodge if I should have. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't want to do that. And then I was like, do you know where my mom is? She's like, I have no clue where your mom is. She's like, I'm here. I don't know where anyone is. Everyone's everywhere. And so I said, Grandma, where do we go? And I said, she said, I don't know. And I said, high school? So I went to the high school. Nobody was there. And I just said, the only person that I felt close to in Ashland, I stayed at the firehouse for maybe an hour, and Kinsey called me back. And she said, we're at my house. All my family's here. If you want to come over and you don't know where your family is, just come over. You know that you can just come. And I came in.
So did your grandma just leave you at the firehouse and go back to Dodge?
No, she was with me the
whole
time.
She was with you all the time?
Yeah.
Okay, so we know all the pasture's gone, all the fences are gone, yeah. Both houses are gone. All we have is what we took in, the vehicles that we took with us. Vehicles that we left, were they okay?
Yeah.
I remember getting back.
You burnt the paint off.
The charger.
Chris and Jessica's charger.
And then it had a bunch of soot.
In all the vehicles.
Right?
Yeah.
Turn on vehicles.
So you had
I don't
lots
remember a lot after that, to be quite honest.
I know.
Because after that, it was just...
It's a blur.
Phone call after 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 phone call.
So who were some of the people or agencies that were the most helpful in that first couple of days there?
Jeez.
Our church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the bank.
You had lots of people bring you hay?
Yeah.
We had a lot of people bring us hay.
Did you move the cattle pretty quickly?
Well, we moved them over to the corrals.
We moved him to the corrals, and he had a couple people call him offering
because even the corrals, some of them were down, so we moved some temporary panels to block that.
Actually, you know what it was? It was our hay rings that we opened up.
Yeah.
Oh.
We opened up the hay rings.
Yeah.
And made them as fences. Yeah.
We got the cattle taken care of pretty quickly.
Yeah, we had some.
That was kind of our priority at the time. And after that, I remember eating at the church. And
yeah.
I remember meeting lot of people for hay. It was just day after day after day after day.
So when did you go back to work?
For 4 weeks.
Just taking care of your own stuff before you actually had to go.
And I would have taken another 2 weeks on top of that if I could have. Because it was just constant phone calls. Hey,
Yeah, fence and supplies.
I think we all feel the same as that because we all got phone calls or texts or... My phone did not stop ringing for about 3 weeks.
No one knew me.
No one really knew me.
I got phone calls. Shailen got phone calls. I got people referring numbers to me.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, this person needs to talk to you or your parents.
The outpouring of generosity was about as amazing as anything can be.
That's what we needed.
I was blown away by it. Mm-hmm. I got emotional just because of the fact that people cared that much, you know? I mean, it was, what we went through was tough, but just seeing how much people cared blew me away. I would lose it all the time, just couldn't believe how much people really cared, because you see on the news all the time, they fight on. And for people to show that kind of love towards their fellow man was just incredible.
We were drowning in donations
within
the first 2 days. Because so I remember we had set up at the camper. We'd set up the site. And then my grandma comes down.
Oh, man.
Like, almost every other day, she'd be coming down with people that knew us from Dodge, sending donations. And within the first 2 days, I remember sitting outside of the camper saying, okay, we need to sort through some of this because we're getting all kinds of stuff and we can't do anything with it yet. And so I remember sitting out in the camper for...
So mostly clothes? Or
anything
you could think of.
Clothes,
money, food.
And so like
the... Non-perishable food.
Yeah, and
it's
so...
Like, well, we're going to put this not even plate. We got the camper, that's the only thing we have in our name, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, I don't have anywhere to put any of this stuff.
Yeah. All the food, I remember we shoved... No, we asked the church to hold the food for us.
Yeah.
And... The clothes that started getting towards us, like, they started piling up around, like, they brought, like, boxes and totes and bags. Yeah, and so my grandma went, okay, I'm going to get you these totes, you guys, so you can have these and have a place to put them. So grandma came down with more donations and then a whole bunch of totes. And so I'm like, okay, we've got clothes here. We sent the food to the church. So we're going to start sorting through this now. And
Kevin, I remember sitting down. His enclosed trailer.
Yeah.
And then United brought a closed trailer with more stuff in it.
Yeah.
So we were able to put some of that in there.
Yeah.
We were able to sort through.
We still have stuff that we get about, obviously. It's still at the church.
Uh-huh.
Stuff from...
Some stuff.
Yeah.
No. I've dwindled it down.
Okay.
I have
this
brought
way,
some
I don't
of
think
it.
We'll ever have to buy shampoo.
We might have to, but it will be a while.
That's right. Yeah. We have a lot of... And toothpaste and toothbrushes.
We will never run out of toothbrushes, so...
Nope.
And then...
Come to us.
You'd go, you get, like, personal donations.
Right.
And then you decide we had to go, like, if we couldn't make our own meals, you go to the school.
Mm-hmm.
And the school looked like a grocery store.
Yeah.
It was a grocery store.
They didn't have to pay for anything.
No, the entire hallways were lined with tables that had clothes, shoes, toothpaste, deodorant, shampoos, all kinds of things, like anything you could think of. Lined the halls, and then the kitchens were running like 24/7. Every day at lunch, you could come and get some to eat. There were firefighters in and out, staying there trying to while they were fighting fires, and they were camping out in the library on cots. And you'd go, you'd meet a new person every single time you went, and it was just amazing to like hear the people that decided to like just drop everything and just come just to help. The firefighters.
And the volunteers.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Did you go down to the camp and meet people down there and have meals down there too?
Yes.
That was awesome too. And it was like home cooked meals every night. We didn't have to do anything. Thanks to Mel and Rock and
because the church camp is, you know, was there three or four churches that are into it, but one of our churches, one of the
main,
right.
And so we're kind of familiar with having the church camp anyway. And then when that's going on, it's like familiar ground.
It's like you felt that was like a home.
That was a staging point for a lot of the volunteers to help people too. And where you went to.
And did you have a lot of volunteers from there come out and help you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second.